brilliantly acrobatic save.
Xhaka's corner, Sheeran! Goal given! Wow! A game of legends, a game of thrills! Olivier Giroud!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half, just as the ball kicks off. DJ Sticks running with the ball, DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones, wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi, runs past Cristiano Ronaldo, passes to Fernandinho, Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones, DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses, but DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in and wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play and this is the VAR show!
Welcome, welcome, welcome! Everybody. Oh my gosh.
No.
That first touch. Lord, yeah. No.
It wasn't make sure.
It was not make sure. But you know what is make sure? This episode itself is very really make sure. Because we are back with another exciting installment of the V.
Hey.
Show. With the man who is sitting next to a light. The man who is about transfer news always right. The man who gives defenders a fright when he's playing FIFA at night. DJ Sticks, and I am with
it's the man who is the most electrifying.
Yo.
The most intensifying.
Let's go.
The most inspiring.
Let's go.
Hey. Number one in your heart.
Hey. Okay.
Two. It's glory out here, man.
Let's go.
Last week I said I didn't know if I'd be back. Well, look at where we are now.
Just like how Man United is also back for another match in the Europa League
final.
Yes, Europa League final. We have Man United and Tottenham. Not even arguably. So two of the teams where everyone is sort of saying, "What the heck?"
Like two of the teams from the top flight of England football. Two of the worst performing teams right now.
So it's almost like they flipped the table, you know.
And Tottenham is literally a position behind us, which surprised me. I think we should be right there by that relegation line. Between the team that's being relegated.
You know what's crazy, though? I don't know if it's maybe like the Premier League gods or something, you know, that are... Because if our bottom three teams weren't as bad as they were this season, we could potentially have seen Man United and Tottenham the relegation zone.
That's crazy. In one season, Man United and Tottenham getting relegated.
Because, I mean, if like Leicester was the Leicester we know, probably they would be like around number 14, 15 there, you know. If it was the Southampton we know. So, what I'm saying is, they, because I think to survive relegation, you have to be on like 40 points at least. Neither Man United or Tottenham have reached 40 points.
That's crazy. Like,
and there's two games left of the season.
There is no way.
Man United is 1 point away from 40. And I think Spurs is, I don't know.
You know what's interesting? I'm looking at the upcoming matches.
Hey, it's tough.
For both of these teams. It's not tough. Looking good. Hey,
it's tough.
Man United is versing Chelsea in the next game, which is a Friday at 9 p.m. South African time.
Let's go.
Quarter past nine, to be exact.
Yeah, definitely.
And their next game,
which is the last day,
is against Aston Villa.
Man.
They're going to have to fight. At worst, if they, let's say, get a draw, at least from both of those games, they'll get 2 points. Which I don't know if that puts Man United in the clear. How many points is Man United on right now?
39. When we last checked, they were on 39. They are definitely clear of
they're actually not on 39 points. Are they on 39 points?
Yes,
they're on 39 points. So if they draw in both of these games, they get to 41 points. But either way, it's already bad enough because the other teams, like you said, have performed quite terribly
this season. I think number 18, the third best team outside, inside of the...
Mm.
No, the best team that's currently in the relegation zone is on 22 points, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Because so if both this, if you know the teams didn't perform as bad as what they did this season, and both Man United and Tottenham were relegated, what would have been happening is that we'd have at least four teams fight from championship sides that are now in the Premier League, because there's the three from the previous season one or two others.
Yeah. Depending on what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. So potentially we could have seen Tottenham and Man United in the playoff, bro.
Bro, imagine seeing Man United in the championship.
They would have been the first team, right? So if they figured out how to get relegated, they would have been probably maybe even the first team to be in the championship and in Champions League. What a flex.
Is that even legal? Like, surely to be in the Champions League, you need to be a part of the top league.
I don't know. But if you win Europa, like, you have a right to be in the Champions League.
My only concern with the Champions League, which has been a concern previously, but I don't know if I should say fortunately or unfortunately, because Man United had failed to qualify for the Champions League. They didn't have to... Well, it's the thing to do with the ownership. So Sir Jim, obviously, we know, owns Ineos, which is Nice.
Yes.
They also own Nice. And basically, which would have meant that he has two clubs in the Champions League.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now the problem is, now obviously we want to win this, but if Man United wins, they are qualified for the Champions League, and Nice is currently fourth in League One, which means they get automatic qualification into the Champions League as well.
Yeah, I think there's a rule that DJ Stones mentioned, where I think if they both in the final, that's not allowed for some reason.
Yeah, it's not allowed because it's one ownership. So in other sense, it's as if there's like an agenda, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So one would have to forfeit. And
yeah,
you must be insane if you're thinking you're going to make Man United sit out of the Champions League. I think the whole world is going to go nuts there.
So that's probably like an automatic disqualification for Nice.
For Nice, but obviously it will also be unfair to rule them out, because it's not like they haven't worked hard
to
get where they are. Considering that they ended fourth and we are on...
Let's not talk about
that. But surely what's going to have to happen is that Ineos might have to sell Nice if they still want to stay at United. Mm-hmm. Or they'd have to sell Man United in time enough for it to count.
But we will see what happens when Man United actually wins the Europa, or if they win the Europa, because obviously they're facing a Tottenham side that's also sort of unpredictable.
Disclaimer: Tottenham beat Man United 3 times this season.
Damn, that is a very...
So cool. If Man United wins, it will be a turnaround.
Man, okay, cool. That's almost as bad as the Barca and Real Madrid one.
Bro, you don't understand.
Speaking of Barca and Madrid, this past weekend, as you know, was the El Clasico.
El Clasico.
The final one of the season. And what do you say? What do you say?
Hey, bro, this is Barca's season. There's nothing you can do, man.
In the words of Lamine Yamal, as I quote him, you know, maybe some other teams are scared of Real Madrid, but we don't fear them.
Bro.
Yeah, and there's been some other statements that he's boldly said, where he's basically said this season it was never going to happen. Madrid was never going to beat.
Bro, Lamine Yamal is just beaming with confidence.
Man.
The way that guy plays is crazy. That is not your average 17-year-old.
No, it's not. And like also the mindset as well, eh?
Bro.
Because, I mean, here's another one. It says here, this is on the 27th of April, right? This is him before the El Clasico.
Yeah.
These are his words. Even if we concede one goal, no problem. Even if we concede two goals, it's still no problem. This year, Real simply can't beat us. We've proven that. I'm really happy. Visca Vasa. And we saw that. I mean, Madrid went two goals up.
Yeah.
Normally when Madrid goes two goals up, like, it's done and dusted.
I mean,
Madrid is, like, we know them as the comeback team.
Yes.
The remontada, as they would say. The remontada team. Mbappe scores a brace early on in the game. I'm thinking, oh, snap.
Yeah, you think it's over.
Yeah, like, here's the Madrid we've been waiting for all season. This is the Madrid we had nightmares about the previous season.
Yeah.
You know, this is that click. Because obviously, like, Mbappe was making, like, runs through. And I mean, yo, like 1v1, it's very few times that Mbappe will miss 1v1.
Yeah, 1v1, yeah.
But lo and behold, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2.
4-2.
My goodness me. 4-2.
It was crazy. And then they managed to get a consolation third goal.
Which I think the introduction of Luka Modric did sort of stabilize things. Because Valverde wasn't having his best game. So I think them putting in Luka sort of calmed the team down. So should they have put Luka in earlier? We don't know.
Look, in games like these, especially such big games that, you know, determine a lot, it always makes sense. I mean, I don't want to put into question managers' decision, because they are where they are for a reason.
Yes.
But at the same time, there are some things that managers do on the sidelines that are very questioning.
Yeah, I mean, we also
questionable.
We also questioned the leaving out of Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah.
For the entire match. Like, Lewandowski did not play.
Like, that's a game where you want him there.
He did not play. But
and think about it. There's nothing else to play for.
Yeah.
Champions League is done. Because they're out.
Hey.
Wait. Oh, my word. We just had to have a moment of laughter there. But Champions League is done for Madrid. They're out. Done for Barca as well. The domestic cups have happened.
Yes.
Dude, it's the last game. Let's brawl it out.
Plus, it was a thing of whichever team wins this game, basically wins.
They have the bragging rights, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, also we have to consider Madrid. There's a very long injury list.
Yeah.
So just to go through a few key players here. So Ferland Mendy was injured, and Antonio Rudiger was injured. So that's already two key players, right, in defense. David Alaba
was also injured.
Yes.
Damn.
Eder Militao, also injured. Eduardo Camavinga, also injured.
This is basically Real Madrid's key players.
Yes. Plus, on top of that, obviously, Dani Carvajal. So they had a very, very interesting list there. Also, someone like Rodrigo as well.
That's a bit unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Plus, they do have youngsters. So, for instance, Arda Güler was playing.
Yeah.
The whole of first half, but I did not see him once.
Yeah.
So games like that, I mean, yeah. Sort of the young players do sort of disappear.
Yeah.
But not Barca's young player, not Barca's ultimate young player, Lamine Yamal, who again proved that he's built different.
Yo, bro, I'm just thinking with where he's at right now, if he grew up in the eras of your Ricardo Kakas, he grew up in your eras of Cristiano Ronaldo's, your Robinho's, all those guys, the legends where the even though you could start to see a bit of, you know, dirty play come in, there was still a real aspect of football there.
Yes.
And the mindset there was elite. So imagine someone like Lamine Yamal growing up in that era. He would have been up there with like the Neymars, the Ronaldos, all of the big names. And even, well, now he's already proved himself to be a part of the greats. But I mean, like, in terms of how much he can put out, I think he'll be doing a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for real. Like, he would be one of those players where whenever you hear or see Barca, you just think immediately of like him.
Yeah.
And also like the way he's able to carry things like pressure and attention. Because one of the things that went wrong with the other previous potential Messi's, so your Ansu Fati's,
bro.
There was a guy, I mean, who grew up same time as Messi, Boyan.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hype around that guy. Like a lot of, even the greats of today, people like Thierry Henry, they still speak of Boyan.
Yeah.
But then with him, what Henry said was, what messed him up was just the media.
Yeah.
The constant attention, the pressure, the publicity.
Yeah.
It just got overwhelming for him because he was focused on his football. And that's all he wanted to do.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in today's game, you can't just be... Like, you have to show face. You have to do interviews. You have to do all of these things.
Literally, being a football player is more than just showing up to practice. And
now it's,
bro, it's, there's a lot of admin that goes into that stuff,
especially
eh?
Yeah, I mean, you have to wash babies. I mean, Messi washed Lamine Yamal when he was younger. So it's quite hectic, but really it is good to see Barca beating Madrid.
Look, it's good to see Barca back on top.
Yes. And obviously now with that also came a contract extension.
Yeah.
For Hansi Flick until the year 2028.
Yeah.
Which is scary because it's like, hey, if they did this season, in his first season, what are they going to do for the next 3 years?
Because still got till 2028. Is that about two more seasons?
Yeah.
About three or two more seasons.
That's about 3 seasons. So we're going to see this Barca, maybe even a stronger version of this Barca for 3 more years, which is good.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Good for football, good for everybody.
Except, I don't know how good it is for Madrid, because Madrid, this coming week, lost arguably. I don't even think it's arguably. I think it's the most. They lost their most successful manager, which is Carlo Ancelotti,
one of the greats.
Yes. Leaving the club as the most successful manager. I can't even count the amount of trophies that this man has,
bro,
with this club.
I mean, although, what do you think about that move? Because me, personally, Not for the hype or for anything like that, but I'm a bit skeptical, and here's my reason why. Him moving on to coach Brazil is a good thing. It's excellent, especially for, I mean, a man with his resume. Mm. It's a good way to go and, you know, start doing something different. But at the same time, I look at the work that he's doing in Madrid versus the work he's going to have to do in Brazil. I think it's another cup of tea there.
Yeah. Look, I'm obviously looking at what he's done in his career. So he's done a lot. He's basically won it all. He won it all with the top teams. So he won League One with PSG. He won Serie A with AC Milan, and he's won everything with everything, basically. So I think what he's looking for now, obviously, he doesn't want to retire. He doesn't want to settle down, even though he's old. He doesn't want to sit down. So, going to go coach a national team, sort of less work. Obviously, we're saying this, we don't know. I don't know that it's less work, but it appears like it's obviously less work. And there's one trophy that he hasn't captured yet. And if he captures that trophy, then he's basically the ultimate.
Because for me, it was like coaching Brazil is another cup of tea. And the reason why I say so, I mean, not to say that they have a bad team, but they don't have a great team. As they what they used to.
Yeah,
right now, if you ask me, the only player that I can say in my mind, that comes first to my mind, that is good in terms of Brazil, is Rafinha.
Yeah.
We can mention other names. Obviously, we have the likes of Rodrigo and all of these people.
Vinicius.
Maybe Rodrigo, Vinicius. But
Thing is, I mean, he does know a couple of them. So, for instance, I think Militao is also Brazilian.
Yeah, Militao is Brazilian.
Yeah, Militao is Brazilian. So there's a couple of players that he already
that
has.
That he's
like
worked
a,
with, yeah.
Yeah, like a handle on. And I'm sure he'll be contacting. I mean, he's one of those managers that, like, he calls you for you to come and play for him.
Yeah.
As in, he's that personal. So I think he'll be doing some very, very good call-ups.
Yeah.
Like players like Endrick are there already. So I think that we might be seeing a good team. My concern is, though, are they going to be ready for this coming World Cup? Because I feel like it's almost too soon.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on Endrick?
I don't know.
Quite a young star. He was very much hyped on his way to Madrid.
Very, 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 very.
My expectation versus what I got don't match.
I feel like, I honestly feel like, because when he came to Madrid and when he came to Spain, like, a lot was going on in his personal life as well.
Yeah,
he got married to that model of his,
bro, at such
now.
A young age.
He was like in multiple photo shoots. So a young player like that, you want him to be focused purely on his
on football. Because if you can get him to channel that energy there, there's so much you can do with him.
If, for instance, Lamine Yamal gets married,
yeah,
that's of course gonna affect his.
Bro, he's definitely not going to be in top goal scorer list. Trust me.
At least not in the beginning, you know?
Not in the beginning, yeah.
It's hectic. But yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, the last I heard of any... Because I'm not really in the news like that. But the last I heard of Lamine Yamal and, you know, relationship drama was when he was with a girl and she left him or she cheated on him, something like that.
Damn.
I don't know if he's been in any other relationship prior to that.
Is she the reason why we are getting this beast?
Who knows? Probably. I think she either cheated on him or she broke up with him. I don't remember, but this was a while back already. I think he had moved on to someone else. I could be wrong.
So he was like 15, 14 doing these things.
Yeah. This was. I think it wasn't like that long. It would have been like a season ago.
Okay. But yeah, for me, I haven't seen enough of Enric, but I do think one of the managers that can take something out of him is obviously Carlo Ancelotti. And yeah, I'm hoping for a last dance for Neymar in this upcoming World Cup. You know,
yeah.
I'm hoping that he gets called up, even though he's injured right now. But I am hoping, because that'll be good. I mean, that'll be good. Obviously, Vinicius probably won't be happy with that number 10 going. Who has number 10 for Brazil now? Is it Rafinha?
I think it's Vinicius? Rafinha. Because doesn't Vinicius wear number 7? No?
That's one of... It's either Rafinha or Rodrigo, potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I am hoping. Yeah, but is it too soon? I don't know. Because they're going up against solid teams. So Argentina will be there. Messi, one more World Cup. Despite the odds.
Bro, that's crazy.
He'll be what, 40? or 41? I don't know how old he's going to be. I think he'll... No. He'll be 39. And then Cristiano will be going towards 41.
Yeah, bro.
So, yeah. It's going to be insane.
Is he still playing international football?
Yeah, he hasn't retired. I mean, if he retired, we would have known by now. But the goats are still quiet, so I think that they have one more World Cup cooking for us. I mean, it's just a year ahead, so I don't think that
my hot take on this is, looking at Cristiano Ronaldo, not to say that he can't perform, but at the level that he's at now, he's going to need younger players to carry him.
No, for sure. I think at best super sub.
Yeah,
70 minutes.
Because I mean, yeah, 70 minutes, 65.
One half, please.
Yeah.
One half.
You know, to get a bit of hype there going and stuff like that. But otherwise, I don't know, from what I've seen recently previously with the Portuguese national team, there's not a lot of players that are really stepping up to take the fourth. Of course, you have your few star players, Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there's not really looking like, You know, when you look at every team, there's a man that you're looking to.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Sort of be like, this guy is
going to... Spain is Lamine Yamal.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Brazil is probably Rafinha.
Rafinha.
Yeah, there's sort of like a key man that you see.
Yeah.
It's crazy how last year we were saying Vinicius Ballon d'Or, and then this year it's like...
Yeah, it's a bit of a dry conversation right there. Yes.
But yeah, obviously the seasons, the leagues are wrapping up.
Yeah.
That means there's a lot of transfer rumors. Obviously, Trent Alexander-Arnold, we learned last week, is left. And Liverpool eyeing out players like Frimpong, Xavi Simons wanting to leave RB Leipzig. So we're going to be seeing some interesting transfer news up and coming. And we're going to let you know of every single one of them, featuring our boy Fabrizio Romano, you know.
Potential of Man United signing Joe Carres.
What?
It's
damn
not. It's not guaranteed, but
damn.
If we get Champions League football, there is a chance.
Amorim is gonna be key in that signing. Yeah. Oh, that's gonna be a league-shaking signing, bro. Woo!
So he's obviously commented to say that he wants to participate in the UEFA, and obviously
that being Gyökeres.
Yes.
Damn. Does Sporting make UEFA? I am certain.
I don't know.
We'll check that for you. But that's going to be... You see there. Then we can start making these comparisons of Gyökeres and Haaland. You see there. That guy is a beast.
Yeah.
That guy is a beast.
The only reason why I would be excited for someone like Gyökeres coming in is if we continuously... Hopefully, we can prevent some injuries here.
Yeah.
But if we can have Ahmad playing in the squad. Because I've seen in this little time that he's been back, he's already made an impact in the attacks. Like, as soon as the guy comes forward... Ahmad is the definition of what a winger should be, especially in Man United. You look at our wingers today.
Yes,
that guy's not afraid of confrontation.
Let's go.
That guy
1v1.
1v1, bro.
Yeah,
must put him up against Aaron Wan-Bissaka. See what happens.
Oh my gosh! Oh You guys are gonna have him corner again for 7 minutes.
Sliding tackle.
Oh my gosh, Ahmad gone. Oh my goodness. But yeah, we are excited and we're gonna be here next week again with some more news. But for now, we are signing out with the host. That's DJ Sticks. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was about to rhyme again. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's
DJ
all right.
Sticks and
Yuri.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are signing out.
Peace.
Peace.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.